Morning in today's daf and chulin tzadi tetz. We're on tzadi ches amud beis. We're around the middle of the amud. The Gemara's discussion of tam, which continues into today's daf, well into today's daf, is a discussion in the Gemara regarding what point in time tesis is going to be negated. Tesis is not going to be negated. We know that with the principle of tam kicker, we're going to actually hear the Gemara say those words today in today's daf. That when I have the taste of a food, so that's going to have the status of the food itself. And as a result of that, if that taste is emanating from the food, which is usur, so the taste itself is going to be usur. And as a result of that, the taste needs to be negated. That taste is going to be negated. And what exactly, how exactly do we know the taste is going to be negated? So like I've said already, a couple of days, so the answer is very simple. We eat it and see if there's taste or if there's no taste. Now that's good, but that's not good. Meaning you can't just simply pick up a food and eat it on the chance that maybe the taste is negated. So you run the risk of eating isser. So what you're going to do is a couple of things. We went through a couple of strategies in terms of what to do. The Mishnah strategized that what we'll do is we'll just simply take another mixture of foods, both being mutter, with the same ratios and the same kind of taste distribution, and we'll see whether or not it imparts taste or it doesn't impart taste. That's the Mishnah solution. The Gemara, going back to Tzadi Zion, so the Gemara says another solution, which is give it to a non-Jew, let him taste it. So he doesn't have to worry about kosher or not kosher. He just simply has to know whether or not the taste is imparted. And you'll ask the non-Jew whether or not he could discern the taste or not. How do we rely on the testimony of a non-Jew? So we already discussed that on Tzadi Zion Amud Aleph. And then the big theme that's been covering us now for the last couple of days, yesterday's daf, going into today's daf, shishim. You don't need to sub out with other foods. You don't need to go to a guy. Shishim, you just simply know the ratio of 1 to 60. At 1 to 60, so at that point in time, we could say that the taste has been negated when we get to the ratio of 1 to 60. Good. That's the Gemara that we saw in yesterday's daf and 2 days ago as well. This was both in Tzadi Zayin and Tzadi Ches, this idea of shishim. Okay, some foods need a little bit more than shishim. We talked about eggs, how you need a little bit more than shishim when it comes to egg. You need shishim ve'echad. Why exactly, the Gemara doesn't say, but we offered a couple of suggestions. By chal, by the udder. The udder was cooked with other pieces of meat, so there we could be a little bit lenient in that we can actually count the chal as one of the 60, even though the chal itself is asr. But again, the chal itself is not asr. It's the milk embedded in the chal that's going to be asr. So there we could be a little bit lenient, but okay. So sometimes we're going to be a little bit more machmer, sometimes we're going to be a little bit more lenient. But shishim, but really the number was 60. Then you go back to yesterday's daf at Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph, and you approach the bottom of the Amud, and the Gemara presents a machlokus on this matter, whether the ratio is 60 or whether the ratio is 100. The Gemara had two statements, both that were quoted in the name of Rav Yishuv ben Levi, in the name of Bar Kapara, that when it comes to all the Yisurim of the Torah, so how much do you need to negate it? So one version is that you need 60, and another version is that you need 100. And the Gemara noted, and what's this discrepancy going to be based on? It's based on the model case of Zorah B'Shelah. So let's remind ourselves, what is the case of Zorah B'Shelah? So we know when the Nazir concludes his Nazir, so he has to bring a series of Karbanos, three in total. One of the Karbanos he's going to bring is a Karban Shlamim. It's an ayil. It'll be a ram. And that Karban Shlamim that he's going to be bringing, so part of it is going to be given to the Kohen, that's a Zoroah, and the rest of it's going to be consumed by the Nazir himself. The part that's given to a Kohen, the Zoroah, Zoroah B'Shelah, so that part is going to have Truma quality to it, meaning cannot be eaten by a non-Kohen. And so we have now a scenario in which we're going to be taking something which is Aser to a non-Kohen, and we're going to be cooking it together with something which is Mutter to the non-Kohen, and yet there's going to be nullification, there's going to be Bittul. Now, what is the ratio of the leg to that of the rest of the animal? And interestingly enough, it's a machlokus. How could that be a machlokus? So this is pretty much where we got to yesterday. Let's just quickly go back and recap the Gemara as we had it yesterday. I'm going to start today, short topic. I'm going to start today on the very bottom of Tzadi Ches Amud Beis. Well, I know we did this yesterday. So, Ela Mizro B'Shelah Dichsiv. So the Gemara quotes now from first the Braisa. Lakacha kon zora b'sheila, the pasuk in the Torah describing the taking of zora b'sheila v'tanya b'sheila, ein b'sheila ela shlema. So, but what is the definition of b'sheila shlema? Is that we are now on the top of Tzadi Ches Amud Beis. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, ein b'sheila ela shnisba shla im ha'ayil. B'shela means that it's cooked together with the ram. Now, there's clearly a machlokas here between the Tanakama and the Rashbi. What exactly is a machlokas? So the Gemara starts off like this. As far as how we're cooking the ram of the Nazir, so again, it's a shlamim. So everyone agrees that we're cooking it all together. The only question now becomes whether we first cut the leg off the rest of the body and cook it, or reverse, cook it and then cut the leg. But everyone's in agreement we cook it together. Or the Gemara has another version of how to understand the machlokas. Everyone agrees that it needs to be cut first. And then miu mar sever bahadi ayam avashala mar sever big dera cheres mevashala. And the only thing that is open for debate is, do I cook it in two pots or do I cook it in the same pot? Now, in these two versions of how to understand the machlokas, lishon kama liba de divrei akol. Now, according to the first version, everyone's in agreement that the leg and the rest of the animals cook together. And according to the second version, according to the Rashbi, you're cooking it together. Now, so three out of the four opinions say that you cook the leg and the rest of the ram together. And what happens is as follows. Again, as we set it up, the leg for the non-kohen, for our nazir, or concluding nazir, is totally aser. The rest of it is totally mutter. I just cooked together Isser Veheter. And now what? So what's the ratio? So Mandam Rebishishim Savar Basavat Samos Bahade Basavat Samos Misharinan Vahavale Bishishim. So if now we're going to be taking the full leg and figuring out its proportions to the rest of the animal, so it's 1 to 60. Mandam Rebimeo Savar Basar Bahade Basar Misharinan. And if you are not taking into consideration the full leg, and what are you not taking into consideration? The bone? Because the bone's not edible, and the bone doesn't impart a flavor. And it's seemingly, by the way, the Gemara is having a debate right now whether or not bones do or do not impart a flavor. But, okay, but let's assume that we're not taking the bones into account. So now we're talking about the leg of the animal, sans the bones, it's not a lot of meat. We're not talking, Rashi says over here, we're not talking about the shoulder of the animal, we're just simply talking about the bottom portion of the leg, which does not have a lot of meat on it. And if I take that ratio against the rest of the animal, so now we're looking at 1 to 100. V'havale b'meya. So that is going to be our proportions in terms of how we see whether or not it's going to be 1 to 60, 1 to 100, in terms of looking at the cooked leg together with the rest of the animal. The cooked leg is also the rest of the animal's mutter. There must have been bittul. And so what the ratio is, and a machlokas in terms of whether or not we are taking into account the bone, or we're not taking into account the bone. Now, as I pointed out yesterday, this is a really, really unusual, strange place to be learning the halacha of bittul, specifically bittul b'shishim or bittul b'meya. Right? By the way, it is bittul b'shishim, but at least right now in the Gemara, we're entertaining two numbers, bittul b'shishim or bittul b'meya. The Gemara is really learning it from an unusual place. Now, I made this point yesterday, but much more importantly, Tosfos makes this point, and that is, what kind of drush are we talking about over here? Because if you think about it, if you consider it, what we are learning the halachas of negation of taste. That's what's called min b'she'eino mino. We're talking about cooking an animal together. Part of the animal we're not allowed to eat, part of the animal we are allowed to eat. But it's all the same type. Right. It's min b'mino. There's no difference in taste. So what kind of drusha is this? So Tosfos writes over here, third Tosfos on the Amud, Mandam min b'shishim sever basavat samas. Lav drusha gemuri hi, lemelef mina. Linyan min b'shin amino. De tam keke daraisa. De hacha min b'mino hu. De me daraisa b'tela b'ruba. So Tosfos says that this is not a drasha gemura. Well, this is not a bona fide drasha that teaches us the halachas min b'shin amino. Meaning when it comes to misha min b'shin amino, what we're looking to do is negate the taste. And we have this principle of tam keker. And Tosfos writes over here, the principle of tam keker is daraisa. And meanwhile, what we're looking at in terms of the cooked ram is we're looking at a case of min b'mino. Min ha-Torah, when I have a mixture of min b'mino, so taste no longer is a consideration. When does bittul occur? Tosfos writes over here, bittul occurs at rov. Min ha-Torah, bittul occurs at rov. Because taste is a non-factor. If taste is a non-factor, so then when does bittul occur if I don't have to take taste into consideration? The answer, of course, is rov. Rov is now when bittul occurs. That's midaraisen. Okay, midarabanan, I need shishim. But over here, we're having a drasha teaching me about shishim. If it's about min b'she'eino mino, The case study, the prototype case over here is min bimino. And if we're talking about min bimino, min haTorah, I only need rov. So Tosus acknowledges that this is not a drasha gemura. It's not an absolute drasha. Tosus writes, Ela b'shishim u'mea kabbalah haisa b'yadam. Really, as far as the numbers, either 60 or 100, that was the tradition they had. And v'as b'chua aikra. And as far as now attaching it to a pasuk, so we're attaching it to the pasuk, giving it more significance, credence. It could be just a mnemonic aid. Whatever the case is, this is not a drasha gemura, says Tosos. And we come akom parak shaper mehad detayin zeh hatar ba mechal iser demashma sheyesh kan heta demama asar akoyotzebo. Now Tosos is setting us up for the next question of the Gemara. So before I explain that last part of Tosos, let's go right back to the Gemara and let's see the Gemara inside. But it's just a great it's an important point to recognize as we go through this entire sugya. It sounds like the source of Shishim and Meah is coming from these from the pasuk in Zerah B'Shela, but it's not. It's not a drasha gemura. Okay. And the Gemara says, now note, that we are going to have a brisa, and we're going to be spending half of our day today on this one line of this one brisa. And that is, Zewet Rabba Mechal Isser. The brisa says like this. This is an unprecedented moment in halacha. Meaning, what just happened? The Torah gives us an allowance that we're going to be taking the ram of the Nazir, and we're going to be cooking the whole thing together, despite the fact that the leg is Aser, and the rest of the animal's Mutter. The Torah says, you have an allowance over here. You have an allowance over here, which under normal circumstances would not be allowed. Period. That's the brisa. And now what we're going to be doing for half of today's daf is, what did the brisa mean? So, zelamuti mai, lavamuti kolisrim shibatorah. Now, ostensibly what it means is that we're coming to exclude ourselves from any isrim in the Torah. Meaning, right now the Gemara's first approach, or first attempt to understand the brisa, is that, you know what's unprecedented? Here, there's going to be bittul. And under normal circumstances, there's not going to be bittul. Now, even that suggestion in of itself, what do you mean? There's never going to be bittul? Meaning at no point in time there's going to be bittul? But at least we're just trying to wrap our head around the brisa, trying to understand. The brisa is clearly saying this is unprecedented. And now what we're trying to figure out is what exactly is unprecedented. Interesting, by the way, here's what the Gemara does not say, but Tosfos does bring it up. And that the Gemara is going to get to Rabbi Yehuda. But the Tosos over here points out, do you know what the Gemara could have said in terms of what's unprecedented? Generally speaking, if I have something which is Aser and I have something which is Mutter, so am I allowed to create Bittul? And the answer, of course, is no. Bittul, the entire discussion of Bittul is if it happens, if this drops into this, if these two things get mixed together, under no circumstances are we allowed to take two things together, Issa v'Heter, and blend them together with the assumption that Bittul is going to occur. This is a principle known as Ein Mevatlin Issa L'Chatchila. One is not allowed to create Bittul. Bittul is only if it organically mixes together. Now, it's interesting that the Gemara over here says this is unprecedented, and you could have just easily explained, you know what's unprecedented? Here is an occasion where the Torah actually allows for Bittul. Even from an ideal standpoint, the Torah is actually telling us that you could take the two parts, the leg and the rest of the animal, and cook them together and create bittul. Now, it's interesting that the Gemara does not say that, and Tosfos discusses why exactly the Gemara doesn't say that, but that's interesting that the Gemara does not make that as the novel ruling of the Zerah B'Shelah. What is the novel ruling of the Zerah B'Shelah?
What are you mevatel with the leg?
Yeah. In other words, the taste that's coming off of the leg and going into the rest of the animal.
We just agreed that it's not a question, there's no difference in taste between the leg and the rest of the body.
Okay, so good. I know, but don't get caught up. I understand you're going to get caught up in the fact that it's min bimino.
No.
But
my question is something else. My question is, if you're mevatel the status of the leg,
right?
Then if you're mevatel the status of the leg, how could you give it to the Kohen then?
The status of the leg remains the status. In other words, it's truma, and that's not going to change. But the truma now status, that is the taste of the truma that's going through the rest of the meat, which eventually is going to become batal, so that's the bittul that we're describing. And again, what Tosfos is raising is, and the fact that we're negating it even from a lechatchila standpoint, that's a little bit strange. Why doesn't Gemara bring up that? Again, that goes back to Tosfos. Tosfos addresses that.
The Nazir is eating the rest of it.
Yeah. Amar Abaye, so the Gemara is now going to give three approaches in terms of what's the novel idea that's coming out of the Zohar B'Shela? Number one, Amar Abaye Lo Nitzricha Ela Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, let's start off with the assumption that we're holding Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the author of this price is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Min B'Mino Labato. Now we know that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when I have Min B'Mino, I have like foods, so there is never Bito. Da'acha Bato, and over here, there is going to be Bito. So good. So in other words, so we have now a tremendous chiddush of the Braisa. And again, but you have to start off with the following assumption. We're starting off with the assumption that we're holding like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'mino, there's never bittul. And over here, it's a case of min b'mino, and there's going to be bittul. Good.
That's an exception.
Huh? And that's the exception. So v'ligmar minei, so the Gemara says, oh, so that's interesting. So now, why didn't this for Rabbi Yehuda become now the precedent? Why is this the exception? Why don't we just simply turn around and say, well, if there is bittul over here, doesn't that mean that in the case of min b'mino, there's always going to be bittul? So Galar Rechmanu, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it's not the rule, but rather it's the exception, because the Torah tells us the rule elsewhere. What is the rule? Where do we learn it from? We've gone over this numerous times, but here the Gemara says it very clearly. So the Gemara says, we go to the bloods of Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, two animals are going to be shecht, and the bloods are going to be brought into the Heichal, and they're going to be brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they're going to be sprinkled on multiple occasions. How many times are the bloods of Yom Kippur going to be sprinkled? The bloods of the Karbanos of Yom Kippur, right? I missed a couple words in that sentence. How many times are the bloods of the Karbanos of Yom Kippur going to be sprinkled in the Heichal? So we described, 40. Right, 42, 48, maybe 49. Okay, so there are... Right, depending on the numerous shitas in terms of how exactly, when exactly to take the bloods, mix them together. Anyway, for our purposes right now, here's the part that we need to know. At one point in time, these two bloods of the goat and the bull are going to be mixed together. There is going to be assumed to be a lot more blood of a bull than that of a goat. The bull is a larger animal, produces a lot more blood. We're going to assume that there's more bull blood than there is goat blood. And meanwhile, when mixed together, we say the Torah identifies the blood of the goat as the blood of the goat. Meaning, despite the fact that the blood of the goat is smaller in amount, nevertheless, it's not going to be subject to bittul. Why? Rabbi Yehuda says, because it's min b'mino. And min b'mino is eno bato. Good. So that is the starting point for Rabbi Yehuda that teaches us that min b'mino is eno bato. Give me a moment. Umaychaz is the gemara mehach legmar mehai. So the gemara says, okay, so I have two cases now in the Torah of min b'mino. I have one case of the bloods of Yom Kippur. I have another case of the Zohar B'Shela of the aisle. So now that I have these two cases, and now for Rav Yehuda, one is the rule and one's the exception. So the Gemara says, okay, so what gives you now, why are you headed towards the bloods of Yom Kippur and saying that that's the rule, and the Zohar B'Shela is now the exception? Why don't we just go the opposite? The Zohar B'Shela, let that be the rule, and let the blood of Yom Kippur be the exception. Now the Gemara says, now it's interesting, by the way, because I have options in terms of which is the rule and which one is the exception. What, generally speaking, dictates which is the rule and which is the exception? That in and of itself is a good question. The Gemara over here doesn't give us a rule. Generally speaking, we go with the Chumrah over that of the Kula. But that's not always true, and the Gemara over here is going to tell us what is going to be the guiding principle in terms of what's the rule, what's the exception. So the Gemara says, Me'ach Ligmar Me'ach Chidushu. So the Gemara says, well, the Zohar B'Shela is such a chiddush. Now, it's interesting, the Gemara does not articulate. What's the chiddush of the Zohar B'Shela? So presumably, it goes back to a point that we made earlier. Now, I say presumably, by the way, Rashi actually says it. Because what is happening in the case of Zohar B'Shela? We're allowing bittul to occur lechatchila. And so that's very unusual. So if I'm asking which of the two cases is the, quote-unquote, right, the normal case, the default case, and which one is the exceptional case? So the case of the Zohar B'Shela, where bittul is actually occurring lechatchila, that's the unusual case. So Yehachi, the Gemara says, okay, so now where are we right now? So we're assuming that the author of the Braisa is Rav Yehuda, who normally holds min b'mino is eino bato. And the case of the Zohar B'Shela, so you know this is an unprecedented heter. Well, it's an unprecedented heter if you hold like Rav Yehuda, who holds that, but normally by min b'mino there's no bittul, and over here there's going to be bittul. So the Gemara says, fine. So the Gemara says, so once we're now putting this case of Zohar B'Shela in the category of something which is totally exceptional, it is an unprecedented moment in halacha, So what gives us the right to learn anything from it? And now we're going to be learning out the halachas of Shishim and Mea. And meanwhile, it's unprecedented. So Atu Anna Lakula Garmin Lakhumar Garmin Dimidaraisa Baruba Batil. So the Gemara says, well, consider the fact that we're not learning out a kula, we're learning out a chumra. Under normal circumstances, what do I need for bittul? As long as we don't have to take taste into account, so all I need is rov. And over here now, we're establishing that I need more than rov, and I need shishim, or I need mea. So the Gemara says, so that's a chumra that we're able to tease out of the halach of Zerah B'Sheila, even though, as far as the rest of the halach is concerned, it is an unprecedented area halach.
My question was, when they use the example of the Yom Kippur blood, how come they don't use the example of the Erev Pesach when they took a cup of blood from the floor and they sprinkled it and they said it doesn't mix?
That's not a mitzvah in the Torah. That's an application of the rule.
But you're using the same principle that means.
I understand that, but that's not the source. That's just an application of the rule. First, you have to get to the source of the halacha. In other words, you have to find in the Torah where we have a source for the halacha. And once you have the source, then you can apply the rule. That's just simply an application.
Why can't it be the reverse? Why can't it be that the Pesach one is the...
The Torah never says to pick up the blood. No. That's just simply taking his rule of min b'mino in a bottle and just simply applying it.
Rov min haTorah applies even to liquid?
As long as you don't have to take taste into account. If taste is not a factor, so then what else is going to be the guideline in terms of bittul? The answer is going to be rov. Okay. Where do we stand right now? So again, we know the case of the Zerah B'Sheila. We also know the Brisa says it's an exceptional case. What's exceptional about it? So one proposal of the Gemara, this is a Abaye's proposal, is that it's exceptional because we're assuming that we're holding like Rabbi Yehuda. Good. Normally min b'mino is eno batal. In this case, it's going to be batal. That's one. Two. Rava amar lo nitzruchah lo latam keker. So Rava says, I'll tell you what is highly unusual. Normally we don't subscribe to the idea of tam keikar, the bekachem aser, kamash malan da hachashare. Normally, I'm sorry, lo nitzricha ela tam keikar, the bekachem aser. Normally that this principle of tam keikar, and I told you it's coming up in the Gemara, here it is. The Gemara actually articulates the expression of tam keikar, that the taste of a food is going to be like the food itself. Interesting that the Gemara over here says tam keikar applies in what arena of halacha? By kachim, by karbanos. Sounds like from the Gemara that when it comes to chul and tam keker doesn't apply on the araisa level. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. And a lengthy discussion over here, Rashi and Tosos, whether or not tam keker applies both by kachim and by chulin, min haTorah, by kachim min haTorah, by chulin mid rabbanan. Okay, and that is an important discussion. But for our purposes right now, we're just going to stay with the Gemara and the flow of the Gemara. Normally by karbanos we say tam keker. And over here, hachashari, over here, it's going to be permissible. Meaning that when it comes to carbonus in general, and I have the taste of one carbon going into something else, so normally that infused taste is going to be halachically significant on a deraisa level. And over here, what we're saying is, even though there's taste being imparted, it's not going to be regarded. Now again, I'm going to remind everybody, Tosfos says over here, you just got to keep everything in mind. It's not a drasha gemura. We're not making a bona fide drasha because we're talking about min b'mino. We're not talking about min b'sheino mino. But still, at least in the understanding of the Brisa, when the Brisa says that this is something which is unprecedented, in the world of kachim, it is unprecedented because normally we say tam keker. So the Gemara says, v'ligmar mine. So the Gemara says, now, why don't we assume as follows? That this should not be the exception, but it should be the rule. Again, we're going to go back and forth now the same way we did with Abaye. So the Gemara says, we are now on the top of Tzadi Testament Aleph. So Galarechman Agabechatas, the Gemara says, no, it's not the rule. We know where the rule is. The rule is very stated very clearly by the Karben Chatas. Kol Asher Yigabib Sarai Yikadash. The Torah says by Karben Chatas that anything it comes into contact with will become holy. Now, contact over here doesn't just simply mean touch. Contact may mean over here that a taste is imparted from the carbon chatzos into another food. Leos kamoshi and psula tipasel v'im sher tochal kechamer shabbat. Anything cooked with the carbon chatzos. If the carbon chatzos is in a state of disqualification, whatever now is infused with the taste of that carbon chatzos is going to be disqualified. If the carbon chatzos is edible, so whatever strictures are applied to the carbon chatzos, which we all know, has to be eaten in the azara, only by male kohanim. Only for one day and the following night. So now anything cooked with that carbon chatzos is going to take on all those restrictions. So the Gemara says, so that's the rule that tam ke ikar is going to be true when it comes to carbonos. And so the zro b'sheila, exception to the rule. And again, back and forth. My chazus de gamre mehach legmar mehai. So the Gemara says, you're learning it, you're learning the rule from the carbon chatzos. And the exception now is the zro b'sheila. Gemara says, why don't we flip it around? So chiddushu mechiddush lo gamrin, and now the zro b'sheila is a chiddush. Zro b'sheila is a chiddush because again, we'll go back to what we said earlier, we're being mevatel isser lechatchila. So yach lemei v'shishim nami lo ligmar. So the Gemara says, okay, and if that's true, so then it's a totally unprecedented area of halacha. So how are we learning anything from the zro b'sheila? You're learning out shishim, you're learning out mea. And again, the Gemara says, "Atu anan lekula gamrinan lechumer kagamrinan de medaraisa beruba batel." So the Gemara says, again, we're not learning out any kind of kulas over here. We're learning out a chumra. Because, generally speaking, when I have foods that get mixed together, what is going to be the determinant of bitol? The answer is rov. And over here, we're going to need more than rov. We're going to need either shishim or we're going to need mea. Okay. That is our second answer to the braisa, or second explanation to the braisa. The braisa says, Zehu heter habab mechlal iser. The zro b'sheila is an unprecedented area in halacha. And so now what's unprecedented? That normally we say tam ke'ikar when it comes to karbanos, and here we just simply disregard tam ke'ikar. And now the Gemara goes over a third approach. Let's just one more. Ravina amar lanitzucha ela makam chituch. Da'amar makam chituch ba'ama asar v'hachashari. So Ravina says that we're talking here about the makam chituch. Consider. When I take my ram and throw it into the pot, and let's assume right now that everything's connected. Right, I know we had a machlokas at the beginning of the shiur today, but let's assume that everything's connected. Now the leg and the animal are connected one to another. Now the leg is a truma, a status of truma. It's going to the kohen, and the rest of it is going to be for the nazir, right? The concluding nazir, the ex nazir, if you will. And what's going to end up happening is after we take it out of the pot. So what we're going to do is we're going to cut, meaning we're going to cut, and the leg that we just cut off, and we're going to cut it at the joint. I know the two joints to talk about, but whichever joint is the right joint, we're going to cut out the joint, we're going to give that part to the Kohen, and the rest of it is going to now be given to the owner of the Shlamim. Now, generally speaking, we have now an area in which we cut, what's called the Makam Chitach. Now, I take us back to the fourth parak of the Masechta, you remember. Back in the day when we talked about shechting a mother with its fetus inside, and we talked about the fetus extending an arm before the Shechita actually occurred. So the part that's outside is also the part that's inside is mutter. And what about the part that's neither? Meaning the makam chituch, right? The part of the limb of the fetus, where it's not outside, but it's also not inside. And we describe it as a makam chituch. And what do we say regarding the makam chituch? You're not allowed to eat the makam chituch, even though it wasn't outside, but at the same time, it wasn't inside. So what the Gemara is saying is over here, when it comes to the zro b'sheila, I'm cutting on the joint. It doesn't matter even the part that is at the edge of the cut, you're allowed to eat. You, the non-Kohen, are allowed to eat. The leg that was cut off and given to the Kohen obviously belongs to the Kohen. But the part that is now left and given over to the owner, you're allowed to eat it in its entirety, even the makam chituch, even at the edge of the cut. Okay. And that's the third suggestion of the Gemara, where the Gemara says that as far as Zerah B'Sheila is concerned, we're in uncharted territory. Meaning this is an unprecedented area in halacha. What's unprecedented? The makam chituch.
In terms of chatat and touching, how become touching become ta'am?
Because
that when you say that you have to touch any shulchan or whatever.
No, I understand that. But yiga over here does not mean touch. Even though
how do you get to that?
How do I know that? Because otherwise, just because the one carbon. I understand. The Gemara's assumption is that yiga over here means that it's more than just touch, it's touch absorption. I mean, that's a tradition. I mean, Rashi says it over here very clearly. Your question's a good question, but the tradition is over here is that nigiya over here means belia, right?
Because right?
Other
situations.
I understand. Understood your point. Understood. Okay. Yasser Ravdimi Vakamala Hashmaisa. Okay. Rav Dimi sits down, and Rav Dina now is going over this entire sugya, and Amar le'abai v'chol yisurim shepetorah b'me'ah v'atanan. Now, when it comes to other yisurim in the Torah, so it's going to be b'me'ah, meaning, so you're coming to tell me now that in terms of ratios, so there's an opinion, again, the accepted opinion in terms of how much ratio do I need when I have mixtures getting mixed together, So again, once taste no longer becomes an issue, so it's bitul berov. If we have mixtures that get mixed together, and it is min b'she'eino mino, or even if it's min b'mino but it's lach, so then it's shishim. Okay, so shishim is really the number in terms of when I walk away from the daf today, like what is the ratio that's necessary? So the halach is shishim. But there is an opinion that's been recorded in the Gemara that's 1 to 100. So now the Gemara is going to be asking. So let's assume right now that that's correct. Is that correct? Also, Rav Dimi b'kama l'ashmai. So Abai says to Rav Dimi, v'chol yisrim shebetor b'mea v'atanan. Now the Gemara over here is going to be quoting a number of Mishnayos from Arla, which speaks to the idea that it may not be 100. Seemingly, it's not 100. Now, how do I know that? So we're going to have to piece a number of pieces of information together in order to arrive at the Gemara's question.
Are they saying like 100 is a guzma?
No. What do you mean 100 is a guzma?
Like you're saying like so much that is like 100.
No, 100 is one. Again, one of the opinions that we saw is that it's 100.
Right, I know, but here they're saying he's saying 100 is not 100, meaning that like it just...
What the Gemara is about to ask now is that based on a series of Mishnayos that we're going to be learning together, it doesn't seem like the number should be 100. Should be less than 100. Should be 60. Oh, I mean, in other words, it's the only other choice that we know. So, but it's not 100.
Did you explain where the ended comes from?
We did. In other words, with the case of the Zorah B'Sheila and taking the ratio.
Oh, because of the Mida and the
right,
of the book.
Right. I see. Okay. So, Yasuv Rav Dimi v'kama l'ashmaisa amalei abai v'chol yisrim shebetor b'mei avatanan. The Gemara quotes now from the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Arla reads like this. Lama amru kol mechametz metama medamea lahachmir. Min b'mino. When it comes to foods that get mixed together and they are similar in taste, so we're going to be machmir. Explanations coming up ahead. Lahaka lahachmir min b'shein amino. Now, when is it going to flex a little bit? Sometimes be a kula, sometimes be a chumra. That's in the case of min b'shein amino. Good. That's one Mishnah that we learned together. We haven't gotten a lot out of this Mishnah. We got a starting point. When it comes to min b'mino, there's no flexibility. We're going to be machmir. When it comes to min b'shein amino, flexibility. Sometimes machmir, sometimes mekel. V'ketani seifa. We're going to go on now. More of the Mishnah in Arla. L'haka l'achmir min b'shein amino ketzad. So give me an example of when we're going to be mekel and when we're going to be machmir. So the following as an example. Grisim shenisbash le'imam adashim. Now over here we're talking about a combination of truma getting mixed in with non-truma. Right, the first item that's mentioned is going to be truma. The second item that's mentioned is going to be non-truma. Right, truma gets mixed in with non-truma. Now, you've probably heard before that when truma gets mixed in with non-truma, so what do I need for bittul? I need 1 to 100. You probably heard that before, and that's correct. Meaning that is right. But over here, however, what we're talking about is not your standard mixture of dry foods getting mixed together. We're talking about blending foods together. Right, in halacha, what is referred to as lach balach. And so we're saying we could say they're cooking together. Not in every one of these cases are we cooking it together. Sometimes it's just one is serving as a leavening agent for another item. So it's not always cooking. But in other words, it's a blending together. So ketzad. So grisim shnis bashlam im adashim. So we're talking about now grisim, some sort of some sort of bean that's cooked with adashim. I'm just trying to think of ways to segregate so that we know it's not the same type of beans, but okay, I'll just keep it in the Hebrew. So one's grisim and the other one's adashim. So im yesh bahem beno sein tam. So now, assuming that they are dissimilar in taste, and one is imparting taste to another, bein yesh bahem la'alos b'mea ve'echad, bein ein bahem la'alos b'mea me'echad, aser. If there's going to be an imparting of the taste, so it's going to be prohibited. Now you're probably wondering, if it's more than 100 to 1, how could there be an imparting of taste? That's a wonderful question, right? Hold that question. Right now, we're just simply saying that if it's dissimilar, so then taste is going to be the guiding force in terms of whether establishing whether there's going to be bittul, there's not going to be bittul. So if you could still sense the taste of the truma that gets mixed in with the chulin, it's going to be aser. That's the chumra. Ein b'hem b'no sein tam. Now, let's say it doesn't impart a taste, right? In other words, even though they're dissimilar, but in other words, the strength of the truma that went in is simply not strong enough to impart a taste. So, ben sheyesh b'hem la'alos b'mei ve'echad, Bein ein bem la'alos bein ve'echad mutter. So whether it's the ratio is 1 to 100, whether it's the less than 1 to 100, it's going to be mutter. What have we just learned together? That we have dissimilar foods get mixed together. Sometimes it can impart a taste even when the ratio is greater than 100 to 1. And I know that sounds strange, but wait on that. If, however, it's dissimilar foods, and if the ratio is less than 1 to 100, so it's going to be mutter. Now, ein bem la'alos bemei ve'echad, ela bemai. So now, we are just learned together that dissimilar foods got mixed together, and it's not imparting a taste. Well, at what point in time did the taste just simply disappear? Meaning, when was there a negation of the taste? Well, here's what we know. We know it's less than 1 to 100, so where is the ratio going to be set at? Well, we only have one other option. 60. So it's got to be 1 to 60. So Elabamai, La Vishisham. So that's the Gemara's now argument that's presenting that taste dissipates at 1 to 60. Because we know it's less than 1 to 100, and so therefore our only other option then is got to be 1 to 60. So the Gemara says, La Bemeya. So the Gemara says, nah, what it means is 100. Now, it's a little bit difficult because, well, how did the Braisa read or how did the Mishnah read? Bein, ein bam lalos bemea ve'echad, ein bam lalos bemea ve'echad, ein bam bam lalos bemea ve'echad, bein ein bam lalos bemea ve'echad. So now the Gemara is saying it doesn't mean 60, it means 100. But what do you mean? Didn't the Mishnah clearly say it's less than 100? So hold on to that question for just a moment. V'hamid d'resha bemea ha'v'sefa b'shishim, diktani resha. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Look clearly over here what we're doing in this Mishnah as we are contrasting the cases of min b'mino and min b'sheino mino. We're going to go to the first part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah over there is describing min b'mino. La'achmer min b'mino ketzad. Give me an example of min b'mino where we're going to be machmer. So here's where we're going to be machmer by min b'mino. Sor shel chitim shenafal isos chitim. Leavening agent of chitim of truma that gets mixed into other wheat which is non-truma. And it creates a leavening agent. Now, the Gemara is assuming that when it creates a leavening agent, that of course is significant, and even if the ratio is a really high ratio, but if it is able to be a leavening agent, that is going to be rendered now as if the truma is permeating throughout the entire dough. So, Soror Shachitin Shinafalis is Chitim V'yesh Bo Kedei L'Chametz. Bein Yesh Bo Kedei La'alos B'mea V'Echad. Bein Einbo Kedei La'alos B'mea V'Echad. And here, it simply does not matter what the ratios are. The ratio is that it's 1 to 100. It's greater than 1 to 100. If leavening occurs, it's always going to be Aser. Einbo La'alos B'mea V'Echad. Bein Shi Yesh... I'm sorry. B'mea V'Echad. I'm sorry. The Bekadel Alos Bemev Echad, Asr, Ein Bol Alos Bemev Echad, Bein Shiesh Bokadel Chametz, Bein Ein Bokadel Chametz, Asr. And okay. I'm sorry. And if it's less, the ratio is less than 100 to 1. So at that point in time, it doesn't matter whether it causes leavening or it does not cause leavening. It's going to be prohibited. Okay, so in other words, basically, when it comes to min bimino, so we're always going to be machmer. Now the Gemara says, now let's consider. Resha v'seifa bimeya. Now, in the Mishnah, here's clearly what we know. That min b'she'eno mino, we're going to have more flexibility. Min bimino, we have no flexibility. That's what we know for sure. Now, if you're telling me that the ratios are always going to be set at 100 to 1, both by min bimino and by min b'sheino mino, so then we literally do not see the difference between the two. And the whole starting point of that Mishnah is that by min b'sheino mino, we have the right to be a little more flexible. We're going to be machmer, but sometimes we're going to be mako. Now, where exactly is the kula? If the ratio is set at 100 to 1 by min b'sheino mino, which it was set at min b'mino, so it's the same thing. So the Gemara's explanation goes like this. Now what we said previously is that by min b'sheino mino, well, maybe it's 60 to 1. And the Gemara balked at that, and the Gemara said, well, no, it's not 60 to 1, it's 100 to 1. If you're right, then literally we do not see the difference between min b'mino and min b'sheino mino. So the Gemara says like this, lo, reisha b'meya v'chad v'seifa b'meya. So the Gemara says, okay, there is but the smallest difference between min b'mino versus min b'sheino mino. Min b'mino, where's the bittel set at? 101 to 1. Where is it set at min b'sheino mino? 100 to 1. And that, the Gemara is saying, is all the difference. So the Gemara says, now, if at 101, you mean to tell me that it's able to impart taste? So Ishtik, so at that point in time, he was quiet. So Amalei Dilmashani Sa'or Dechimutza Kasha, and to which the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? We're talking about a leavening agent. And because we're talking about a leavening agent and the strength of a leavening agent, perhaps it's able to act and serve as a leavening agent, even when the ratio exceeds that of 100 to 1, or 101 to 1. Amalei Atkarasa Milsa Damer. And right, and it's not going to be, and there's not going to be bittel. Amalei Atkarasa Milsa Damer Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Lo Kol Ishurim Shavim, Sha'arei Tzir, Shiro Karvla Masayim. So the Gemara says, and you know what? You reminded me. You reminded me of the fact that, you know, sometimes, in other words, we have a default setting in halacha in terms of when bittel occurs. When does bittel occur, meaning when do we negate taste? So again, let's say shishim. Again, I know we entertained a lot today the idea that maybe it's 100, it's set at 100. But certainly the idea is that bittel generally has a set benchmark. But okay, that's generally. And then you have to take into consideration that certain foods are so strong and so pungent and so spicy that the bittel is going to be set at a much higher rate. Did not. The Gemara says, I'll give you an example. A Mishnah today out of Truma. The Mishnah says, "Dagtami tzira aser." That if I have a certain non-kosher fish, the brine that comes out of the fish is going to be aser. Rav Yehuda Amir, Revius Bisasayim. And what ratio is there? Is there ever going to be bittel? So he sets the ratio at a quarter of a log to sasayim, two sa'as. Now do the math, and Rashi did, and so did I, and it comes out to 192 to 1. Meaning there are 192 quarter lugin in two sa'as. So, bittel will occur at 1 to 192. So, the Gemara says that, you're right, not all bittels created equally. We do have a default bittel, shishim, mea, whatever the default is set at. But sometimes you also have to take into consideration that when you have a leavening agent, it's strong, it's powerful. When you have something like the brine of fish, it's strong, it's powerful. And so therefore, leavening occurs at a much much smaller rate. Bittel will occur only when you have a much greater amount against the Isser. Just give me one moment. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda min b'mino lo batel. So the Gemara says, now, just one point of interest. The Braisa that we just read, the Mishnah that we just read, said that you're going to have bittel at 192 to 1 when it comes to the brine of fish. And who said that? The Braisa actually said, Rabbi Yehuda said that. Rabbi Yehuda said that? Rabbi Yehuda holds there's never bittel. So the Gemara says, well, you're right. And under normal circumstances, he would say min b'mino is never subject to bittel. Over here, he's going to be lenient. The reason why he's going to be lenient is that because the brine that comes out of a fish is not aser min haTorah. Tosfos over here says that clearly, that the brine that comes out of fish is not aser min haTorah. It's only nisa derabanan. And by nisa derabanan, Rav Yehuda feels that he's in a position where he could be a little bit more lenient, and bittel will occur at that point in time.
With regard to a leavening agent, when the dough becomes leavened itself, doesn't that become a leavening agent by itself? So doesn't that potentiate so the ratio is all off anyway?
In other words,
leavened dough, doesn't it become a leavening agent for unleavened dough that's near it?
I'm not sure if that happens immediately. If you have to let it, you have to let it ferment a little bit, right? Sour a little bit and ferment a little bit. I'm not sure if that occurs immediately. Okay, let's recap. Let's recap our day. Okay, the world of Tarovitz and the world of Bittel, and I know there are a lot of moving parts and there are a lot of variables to take into consideration. But just as a quick summary, what we discussed over the course of today is the idea that there comes a point where there is going to be Bittel, negation of taste. At what point is that? So the Gemara entertained today that there may be two benchmarks to be set at. One is 60. And the other is 60 to 1, and the other is 100 to 1. They're both learning it out from the case study of Zorah B'Shela, where Isser and Heter are being cooked together, and yet Bittel has occurred. What's the ratio between the leg and the rest of the animal? So actually, interestingly, it's a machlokas. And it's a question of whether we take the bone into consideration, we don't take the bone into consideration, and that's our benchmark. I remind you, Tosfos says, it's not a drasha gemara, it's not an absolute drasha, it's just that this now becomes a case in the Torah where Isra and Heter are cooked together, and so therefore it allows the Chachamim to attach the opinions to this particular case study. The Braisa said that this is something which is unprecedented in Halacha. What exactly about it is unprecedented? The Gemara gave three opinions. One is that we're assuming it's going like Rav Yehuda ben Mimino, is that there's normally no bittul. Over here there is bittul. Rava says that by kachin we normally say tam ke'ikar. Here we do not say tam ke'ikar. A third possibility of Ravina is that normally we look at the makam chituch and say the makam chituch is aser. Over here the makam chituch is going to be mutter. Tosfos raises that as an issue. And the Gemara didn't mention it. And then the Gemara spent the rest of the day looking at Mishnayos in our law, where the Mishnayos in our law seem to indicate that when it comes to Min B'Mino versus Min B'Sheino Mino, we have certain flexibilities within Min B'Sheino Mino. What are those flexibilities of Min B'Sheino Mino? So the Gemara proposed that the flexibility is that you don't need 100, 60 would be enough. And the Gemara just simply sidestepped that, and the Gemara said, well, no. Maybe over there you need 100. So then how is Min B'Sheino Mino more flexible than Min B'Mino? By Min B'Mino you need 101. To one, and Mishenu Mino is 100 to 1. I know. It's even as I say it, it sounds like that's our flexibility. That doesn't sound like so flexible. But anyway, that's a possibility. And the end of the daf today, we went over the idea that even though there's a benchmark of when Bittul occurs, again, 60 to 1, 100 to 1, but sometimes you also have to take into consideration that certain foods have so much potency, I'm going to need more. The leavening agent has more potency. The brine of a fish has more potency, and then what the Gemara doesn't say, but we all know is true, spices have more potency. So in other words, so even though we talk about 60 being a, the number in terms of the negation of taste, but you also have to take into consideration that certain foods are just stronger.